Welcome once again to Beef News and Notes, information for both the producers and the consumers of our great product, beef. Well, with springtime comes a lot of feedlot and cow-calf issues. To help us with some of these concerns, we have with us today Dr. Christina Wagner from the Riverside Animal Clinic. How are you doing today, Dr. Christina?
I'm good, Mark. Thanks for having me. How are you guys?
We're doing great. Okay, well, let's get into some of the feedlot issues. Cattle this time of year are on their final stretch. Most of them are either being fed or about to be fed their high megacal ration. And along with that seems to come some issues that can occur. Can you just tell us, how can producers safeguard against, say, that overeating problem that happens once in a while in a feedlot setting?
Sure. Well, you know, the overeating vaccines that we carry, I mean, really cost-wise per head, you know, they're nothing. And when you get to this point in the game, losing an animal that big is, I mean, it can be, you know, a pretty big hit. So I have a hard time not recommending that people don't use those vaccines and don't vaccinate when they go through. If you got to go through anyway and do that final implant or, you know, do a five-way, adding that C and D vaccine on there really doesn't add much more to your cost, and I think it can help you, you know, in the end with the outcomes.
And if a person does get in a situation where you have one that's down from overeating, coming in with a vitamin B complex is probably the best avenue. Is that right?
Really, I mean, more so along the lines of penicillin. I mean, your vitamin B isn't going to hurt, but, I mean, usually that's along the lines I'm thinking of is penicillin. And really, as far as overeating goes, I mean, one of the other big things to think about is, I mean, obviously it depends on the setting and how, you know, how you are feeding and what you are feeding, but feeding in a timely manner, you know, and a consistent manner. If you're feeding, you know, twice a day and they're, you know, licking the bunks clean, and I mean, that's also can help you out a lot. I mean, feed irregularities and inconsistencies are, you know, one of the main things that we can see that can lead to those types of problems.
Well, you know, over the years I've always thought bedding, especially with corn stalks, can kind of buffer that high megacal ration a little bit for them, of course, keeping hay in the ration. Have you seen any, is there any more incidences of having the overeating problem in, a slatted barn that you'll see these deep-pitted barns being built, or is that a bigger issue for them?
It could possibly be, but I mean, the thing about overeating is it's really tough to figure out. I mean, sometimes it just randomly happens, so I guess I can't say for sure to answer that question, yes or no. It's possible.
Okay.
But I think you're right about having, you know, plenty of forage in the diet and the bedding and whatnot can help with that.
Well, another problem that can be happening this time of year is the foot and hoof issues that can come up.
Mm-hmm.
And I always think a good offense is probably a good defense.
Absolutely.
What are some husbandry practices that we should be looking at?
Well, I think as easy, you know, simple as this sounds, keeping those lots as clean as possible, making sure they've got a good bed pack. I mean, it's not feasible to, you know, keep them spotless, obviously, but I think the places where I see the most trouble is when we have cattle that's standing in that liquid soupy manure. You know, if it's kind of a sticky manure, it seems to kind of maybe mechanically not, you know, kind of help between in that interdigital space in their feet, kind of help mechanically wipe that area. Whereas if they're just standing in that, you know, liquid soup, that seems to be kind of where you see some problems.
Okay.
And that's also another one that's frustrating too, because it can be quite random as far as, you know, you could have a really clean lot and still, you know, have some problems with it too.
Okay. Cattle this time of year, it seems like we start seeing hair loss and that type of thing due to lice. And mm-hmm. From what I'm seeing, some of the products that used to have really good residual effect don't have quite as long of residual in them. What are your thoughts?
Oh, my thoughts are lice are kind of really a big pain. a lot of it is going to depend on, you know, what kind of a product you use, but two things to keep in mind as far as the lice problem goes, you know, the life cycle of those lice for when they're from the time that they're laying eggs to when they're hatching, you know, can be 2 to 3 weeks sometimes. So a lot of these products are labeled to kill the adults, but not the eggs. So if you're not, you know, going to repour them in a timely manner, you know, further down the road, you're probably, you know, looking at more problems, I guess I would say. And the other thing, too, is there's two different kinds of lice. You have sucking lice and biting lice. And sucking lice are actually a little bit easier to get a handle on. But those biting lice, you know, they've got to come and they've got to crawl across, you know, where we're pouring those animals to get that. And I was actually just talking with a veterinary classmate who practices in central Nebraska the other day, and she was saying, you know, she's had some problems with that, and I know a lot of people are using that, going to that cleanup product, which is a product that, you know, is labeled for killing all forms of the lice. But even so, if you've got lice that are, say, hiding underneath their udder area, if you've got biting lice down there that don't actually make it up to the top of the animal or where the animal's been poured, you're still going to have a heck of a time getting those under control.
All right, well, great information. Could you just close out the program here with just touch on a couple things on the cow-calf issues that people that are going to start calving right now should be aware of?
Sure, yeah. I mean, I guess, and this is fairly simple, but just making sure that they've got a clean, dry area to do calving, and, you know, they have some shelter from the elements, especially as windy as it's been here today and yesterday. I mean, even though we have a decent temperature, that can still make it awfully cold when you've got a wet calf that hits the ground. Doing whatever their veterinarian may recommend for scour shots, pre-calving is also very important as far as getting those antibodies into that cow's colostrum so that calf gets a good immunity right off the bat. Those would probably be two of the biggest things to keep in mind.
Well, great. Well, thank you, Dr. Christina, for all your good advice, and we look forward to having you on the Beef News program again, and best luck with all your spring work.
Okay, thanks, Mark.
Until next week, thanks for listening, and we will talk again.